As growing up, my papa told me that if somebody takes a swipe at me, to swing back. Now, I didn't start the fight, Brother David did. And he done well preaching till he lied about his weight. And if he keeps messing with me, he's going to need that burial plot. If you take your Bibles tonight, 1 Kings chapter number 17, I'd like to read just a few verses of Scripture tonight. First Kings chapter number 17. For the sake of time, I want to pick up about verse number 8, if you would, with me. I think everybody here that's a Bible reader knows anything at all about the Bible. You know this is about Elijah the Tishbite, who the Lord commanded the ravens to feed him down at the brook Cherith. But I'm glad that's not the end of the story. Verse number 8, the Bible said, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." You may be seated. Thank you for your patience and your presence here tonight. You'll have to listen fast because I've got to preach fast to get through what I want to finish here tonight. As I tell you back, my folks back home, if you'll say amen, I figure you got it. If you don't say amen, I figure you didn't get it. So I'll have to repeat it over and over and over. So if you'll just say amen, whether you'll agree with it or not, it'll help me to get on down the road, all right? And I apologize before I get started that I wasn't able to make it earlier, but stayed in the hospital with sick folks that are well tonight all day Monday, and it seemed like I must have caught something there at the hospital. But it's been a rough 2 or 3 days, but the Lord's gracious, and He's kind, and He's been generous to us. Sometimes I think we miss blessings because we're always looking for God to do so much in our life. I thought it'd be interesting tonight for us to maybe before we leave off the hill here tonight to give a little thought as to what maybe has transpired here this week and maybe what God may intend to do in the days ahead. I'll be the first to tell you that I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, and I'm not even sure. Now, I know what I believe eschatology, as far as eschatology is concerned. I've had all the ologies I want. Everything except cosmetology, and I don't want to take that. And I know what I believe eschatology, but I'm not so sure we're going to check out here quick as everybody thinks we are. And I don't know that everything's going to happen just like everybody thinks it's going to happen. God didn't put me on the planning committee. He put me on the welcoming committee. And when it's all settled, God will have it all took care of. Amen. But I do believe that many times we miss what God wants for us because we're always looking for big things. When a lot of times God's not working in big things. As a matter of fact, God's been known and is known for working in small things and little things more than He does big things. If big is better, you know, I hear people talking about church, well, big is better. They talk about jobs, well, big is better. Well, big is better, everybody would be driving 18-wheelers up and down the road. But big ain't always better, is it? A lot of times God's working in the small things. I've missed a lot of God's blessing because I've expected too much and looked for too much. We want God to blow things out. And I think sometimes when things do blow out, they're just that. They blowed out. But really, I think God wants to blow some things in. I think there's times that God wants to do something with little things and blow some things in. As Moses, wasn't it, that took the rod. It was a small rod. It wasn't a big rod. God used it to part the waters, bring water out of the rock. Samson used the jawbone of an ass to kill thousands of Philistines. By the way, it was a little lad who had a little lunch that the disciples took, gave to the Lord, and the Lord prayed, blessed it, broke it, and then it multiplied. And I mean, we had fish multiplying that hadn't even been hatched yet. And bread that had not even, seeds had not even been sown in the field yet, yet bread was being produced. And God can take little things and make much out of it, can't He? I think though all of us, somewhere along the way, get tired of picking up things and trying to pick up here and move on down yonder. I was out in the yard back when this big hurricane came through down in New Orleans and those tornadoes were spawned around here and did all the damage that it did, and was picking up limbs and things out in the yard, and the preacher stopped by and he said, "Preacher, you picking up sticks?" I said, "I am." I said, he said, "Miss, be glad you're not having to pick up trees. A lot of folks got trees down." Well, I can't pick up trees. And I dare say tonight you can't. The truth is we can't carry what God's really got for us. All we can carry is what little God sends our way. And I'm interested in these little sticks here. The Bible said in verse number 12 that she was gathering two sticks. Now back in verse 10 it said that she was among many sticks. It said she was gathering of sticks. The word sticks there means many sticks. But for some reason, she picked out two sticks. Out of all the sticks that she could have picked out, she picked out two sticks. I want to talk about two sticks for just a little bit tonight. And then I'm going to ask Brother Carl to sing a song. I asked him a little while ago if it's all right with the pastor. That's been special to me over the years. And I want to have him come sing it, and my part will be done. First of all, I want you to turn with me. We're going to have our Bibles. I hope you do tonight. In Exodus chapter number 25, the Bible talks about two sticks in Exodus 25. The Bible said in verse number 12, and I want to pick up there because I don't have time to talk about the whole tabernacle of the wilderness and everything that is going on here. But you know how the Ark of the Covenant, God's given Moses the blueprints for the Ark of the Covenant, tabernacle of the wilderness. And in verse number 12, He said, "Thou shalt cast four rings of gold for it, and put them in the four corners thereof, and two rings shall be in the one side of it, and two rings in the other side. Thou shalt make staves." Now, last time I checked, staves are nothing more than sticks. And He said, "You make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, and put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. The staves shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee." Now I call these sticks carrying sticks. The Bible said that these two sticks were to be placed through two gold rings, one on each side of the Ark of the Covenant. Four men would get one on each corner and they would bear up. The Bible uses the word borne. This Ark of the Covenant would be borne by these two sticks that are overlaid with gold. And these four gentlemen would carry this Ark of the Covenant wherever the Ark of the Covenant went. And by the way, there'll be no glory without the Ark of the Covenant. And there'll be no God without the Ark of the Covenant. And wherever that Ark went, God went with it. And wherever that Ark went, the glory went with it. And somebody's got to carry the glory. This sounds a little awkward, and I'm not being disrespectful, but somebody's got to carry God. Everybody don't carry God. Here, these are carrying sticks. But He said something about carrying them. He said, "I want you to put into the ark the testimony." Now, I know a lot of you don't believe it tonight, and this may come as a shock to you, but our testimony tonight does determine whether we're going to carry the glory or carry God or not. What was in that Ark of the Covenant was a testimony to what God was doing among the children of Israel. I don't know if you remember what they put in there, but the first thing they put in there was a copy of the commandments of God. Well, those copies of the commandments of God were and are the Word of God. It is the book. It is the Bible. It is the Word of God. So we first have got God's book in that ark. And then he said that you are to take not only the book, the Word of God put in there as a testimony, but he said you're also to put some manna in there. Well, manna was nothing more than bread that had fallen from heaven. God sent the bread to the children of Israel. So now we've got in the ark, we've got the book, the Word of God, and we've got the bread of heaven from God. And then he said you're to put Aaron's rod inside that Ark of the Covenant. Well, in that Ark of the Covenant, we've now got, we've got the book, the Word of God, we've got the bread from heaven. Those are two good things to have around the house of God. And now we've got budding going on because Aaron's rod was known to bud from time to time. Amen? And these four fellows are to carry this testimony wherever the Ark of the Covenant's going. The Word of God, the Bible, is preeminent. The bread of heaven is preeminent. And the budding of Aaron's rod. Now, there's been times I've come into the house of God, and some of you say, well, I don't ever go to God's house this way. And if you do, you're not telling the truth. But I won't tell you what you are. I just tell you you ain't telling the truth. But I've showed up at the house of God many a times feeling like I ought to be at the house. And feeling like I didn't want to go to the house of God. But some little stick of a preacher would get up. Or some little stick of a singer would get up. Or some little sticks of a choir would get up. And they'd go to singing and they'd go to preaching. And I'd get to hearing the Bible, the Word of God. And somebody would get to sending some bread from heaven down. And there'd be some budding that'd take place on the inside of me. And for the first time probably in that day or week, I probably felt like going to the house of God. But it wasn't until I got to the house of God and somebody was carrying God and carrying the glory into the house of God. I don't tell you, it takes that kind of carrying sticks to help us out from time to time. Now maybe you ain't never been carried all your life since you've been saved. Brother David said, you've been carrying yourself. Truth is, that ain't so. Somebody's prayed for you. Somebody's helped carry you. Somebody's nurtured you. Somebody's petted you. Somebody's carried God for you, carried the glory for you. Somebody's probably even done your tithing for you when you wouldn't do it yourself. The truth is, God's people are nothing more than little sticks that carry us from time to time. Amen? I got a little lady back home that if she just gets around the church house, she goes to shouting. And I get there sometimes feel like I don't even feel like being there. And I see the tears start running down her face, and by the time that happens, she's going to let her rip. And a lot of folks say, man, why does she want to do that all the time? Well, I got no idea. I ain't going to ask her. I'm just going to let her be a stick and carry me when I can't carry myself. Somebody got to carry the glory. Amen? Somebody got to carry the glory. By the way, these sticks are overlaid with gold. By the way, they're precious. Overlaid with gold. I want to tell you, those people, some of you and old mama, grandma, granddaddy, and mama's had to carry you. Some old man of God that you put down, run down, talked about, cussed and spit at and everything else, probably carried you. Prayed for you when you didn't even know it. Huh? Truth is, all of us tonight have got a stick probably somewhere we ought to run to and hug. David ain't the only one tonight ought to be hugging trees. Some of you ought to be hugging some sticks. Because I guarantee if it hadn't been for them, there'd have been no glory around the house of God. I guarantee you there'd have been no God around the house if it hadn't been for those sticks that carried you. Amen? Number two, if you'll take your Bibles quickly and turn to the 23rd Psalm. I can quote this, but I want you to turn that with me. Any of y'all had any sticks that carried you in the past? Huh? 23rd Psalm, real quick, like. I won't be as long as Brother David was. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, if I got that figured right, that's two sticks. Is that right? Now, these are not carrying sticks. These are conquering and comforting sticks. These sticks were carried by shepherds. And a lot of people like to use this at a funeral. A lot of people say this is all about death. But the truth is, this is a story about the time David was over in that valley facing the giant Goliath. And he said to God, he said, Lord, you are my shepherd. He said, I'm not afraid. He said, why, you always restore my soul. You always lead me in the paths of righteousness for my name's sake and for your name's sake. And yea, though I walk through this valley of the shadow of death, he said, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Did you know a lot of folks, and I don't want to mess up anybody's fairy tales or anything, but did you know that a lot of people think that David went over there equipped with just a slingshot and five smooth stones to fight Goliath? But if you read the Bible said that Goliath said to him, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? Huh? Am I a dog, Goliath said, that thou comest to me with... You know, it pays to read the Bible. Not take everybody at their word. Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves, with sticks? David was accustomed to carrying. He's a shepherd boy. He carried a rod and he carried a staff. He had killed bears and lions with that rod. He had pulled the high grass down with the hook of that staff and let little sheep and little lambs that could not get to the high grass and brought it down to their level where they could get to it. You see, everybody ain't smart as Brother David. Some of us have to have somebody to hook a little high grass and bring it down for us on our level. Huh? And he said, you mean you've come to me with sticks to fight me? Oh, I know he took that slingshot, and I know he took that stone, and I know he throwed it, and I know all about the stone hitting him in the head. But I went hunting with my papa, rabbit hunting back when he used to use a slingshot. My papa wouldn't lie to my nanny, but he wouldn't tell her everything. And it ain't easy to hit a rabbit moving with a slingshot. And a matter of fact, my papa never killed rabbit running with a slingshot. I was with him. He'd always catch them in the hole and kill them in the hole. And he'd come back holding them rabbits up, my nanny grinning like a possum. He'd say, look what I killed with a slingshot. But he wouldn't tell her about all them he missed that was running. I'll tell you, it's hard to hit anything with a slingshot. You say, oh, big as that is, big as that is. I'll tell you, it's hard. You tried it lately? It's hard. It's hard. I am persuaded that if you get hit right here with a rock, you're not going to wobble forward. I'd say the momentum of a rock that would kill you hitting you here is going to jerk your head back. But Goliath didn't fall back. The Bible said Goliath fell forward. Well, if that's the case, and there's got to be something behind it besides that one rock and that slingshot. Now, I don't know, maybe I'm just a little weird, but I believe the Holy Ghost had Goliath by the head, and when he throwed that rock, he just kept moving him until, ping, there he is, and pushed him over. By the way, it was a fixed fight anyhow. It was a done deal anyhow. It couldn't have ended any other way, so God had to be in it. And you don't know how many giants God has guided them into the path of the rocks for you and protected you, has conquered the enemy and comforted you at times you didn't even know it. Truth is tonight, if it hadn't have been for Him, you'd have never made it up His hill tonight. You'd have never made it down the road tonight. You'd have never got to the pew tonight. You'd have never made it to this meeting this week. The truth is, God has cared for you and met your needs when you didn't even know it. Huh? You know anything about the good shepherd sticks? They're conquering and comforting sticks. Amen? Well, there's a third one. Go back to our text tonight. You got any sticks in your life that have carried you? Do you know anything about these sticks that comfort and conquered things in your life? But then I want you to notice thirdly with me this text that we read tonight, 1 Kings 17. Out of all the sticks she could have picked, I mean, my Lord, there's multi-millions of sticks, ain't there? Of all the sticks she could have picked, she picked out two sticks. Just two. Not real bright, but just all you got to do is read the story. Just the text we read tonight alone will tell you what she's going to do with these two sticks. She's going to fix food with it. And she wasn't going to eat them. But she's going to use them to do it. Now, I figure with two sticks, she couldn't do but one or two things with it. Number one, she could either stir with them. Huh? Or she could build a fire. She could stoke a fire. Poke a fire. She ain't going to build much of a fire with two sticks. But she could stoke one. She could poke one a little bit with two sticks. Well, I call these cooking sticks. And they're special because she picked them out for a particular need in her life. Now, I want you to get this. They weren't given to her. They weren't handed to her on a silver platter. She had to pick them out from amongst many sticks. You know, the Lord has probably sent y'all a lot along the way this week. Some of it you didn't like. Some of it you did like. But it looks like surely out of everything He sent this week, you could at least pick out two sticks. Huh? Let me give an example tonight. These two sticks represented life for one and death for another. Elijah said, "You go and cook me something, let me eat, and then y'all go and die." Is that right? She picked these two sticks out. That meant it's a matter of life or death. I don't tell you, a lot of things going to the house of God, it's a matter of life and death. And it pays to come with the right attitude to the house of God. Looking for two good sticks. I don't know how many people are here tonight, but surely there's two sticks here tonight that you could pick out. And surely there's been enough songs sung this week, you could at least pick out two that you like. I don't like every song I hear. I don't even like for people to sing songs that I know don't apply to them. Huh? I tell you, out traveling these last few years, I've traveled in about 14 states, I believe, preached in about 14 different states in the last 10 years. And I get to see things, and I get to see people's places, and I get to see people outside the environment here. I get to see them in their own environment. And I find out that when they're here singing sometimes, they're not singing what they're living out there. There's a song, something, I don't even know the name of it, but there's a song entitled, "I've quit drinking from my cup because my Or I'm drinking from a saucer because my cup running over," something like it. All I know is it starts out talking about how I'll never be a millionaire, I'll never be wealthy or something like that. This old boy, he's a singing this song. And he did a good job of it. But it wasn't long until I went out to his place. Preacher took me out to his place out in Mississippi, and my Lord, he made $45,000 in his sport. In his hobby. He's got a furniture factory. He owns somewhere close to 500 acres of property. And so I went to hear him, or he would come to hear me preach, and they were going to get him to sing that night. And when he came by me, I said, "Bill, you ain't going to sing that song you sung last time, are you?" He said, "Well, I was thinking about it, preacher." I said, "It's a lie. Don't sing that song." He said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Because I said it starts out about how you're never going to have anything." I said, "Son, that's a lie." I said, "You'd be better off just singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." I said, "Leave that alone. Now, if that's your favorite song, have at it." But I don't like for people to sing songs that don't apply to them. Huh? I mean, I'll be the first to tell you, there's preachers I wouldn't walk across the road over to hear. And yet there's preachers I'd pay to be able to go across there to hear. I mean, but surely in a meeting like this y'all have had this week, you could pick out two that you like. Let me tell you why it's so important that you do. Because let me tell you something. I don't care where you go, what church you go to, you're going to have to tolerate something. You're going to have to put up with something. Oh, not me, bless God. We got a pure place. You better be careful. Just so as you do, somebody going to jump up and they commit adultery or they're doing something else. Or they done mishandled money at the bank. Hey, Lord. If you're that naive, you are naive. Now, they call it stupid over in Alabama. We call it naive. But they both mean the same thing. Huh? I think we call it dumb and dumber. But if you do find a perfect church, don't you join it. Because you'll mess it up every time. It pays for you to recognize that everything ain't perfect everywhere. Matter of fact, there ain't nothing perfect anywhere. Huh? Surely you could find two sticks that you like this week. Let me tell you why it's so important. One was going to live, another's going to die. I was preaching on a Sunday morning, and this woman come in, she had the poochy lip disease. Y'all ever heard of that? You know what that is? If you pastor long, you'll find out. She's sitting right over here about where this brother is on about the fourth row, fifth row, right over here at the end. And then there's a lady come in over here, and she sat over here on this end. She wept the whole time meeting going on. Well, I was shame on me, but this poochy lip woman got my attention more than this woman over here. She's a bugging me. And I was troubled about these poochy lips. And son, she had them the whole time, folks shouting, praising God, worshiping. She still got poochy lip disease. This woman wept. She wept her way to the altar. Ladies come down, prayed with her. She wept her way out of the building. This woman, when she come out, I shook her hand or stuck my hand out. She took my hand. She said, "I don't like you." I said, "Uh-huh." She said, "I don't like anything you had to say." I said, "Uh-huh." And she said, "I won't be back." I said, "Praise the Lord." Hallelujah. Thank God. Let them go. Huh? There's some things that are just better going. And I said, "Thank you, ma'am. Don't come back." This lady comes out. She's still weeping. I took my hand, stuck it out to her, and she took my hand. And she had a pocketbook over her shoulder. She reached in. She pulled out a gun. Well, I thought, well, the last one just said she couldn't stand me. He didn't like nothing I had to say. This one's going to blow my brains out. Nobody's making no mad dashes in my direction. There ain't no deacons coming to my rescue. Everybody's backing up out of the vestibule. They're not walking into the place. And she took my hand and turned it over and laid the gun in my hand. And she said, "Preacher, I come here this morning to come to the last church service." She said, "I was leaving here, done picked out the spot, going to blow my brains out." She said, "But after hearing that message," she said, "I think I'll go home and be a mama to my children and a grandma to my grandchildren. I still got the pistol in my possession," and she never misses a church service. Now you tell me, what was the difference? It's the same meeting. It's the same man. It's the same message. She got the poochy lip disease. She picking up sticks over here, and she gets help, and she wants help dead. It's called attitude. I wrote a little tune back when my children were little, when their attitudes were bad. Attitude, help my attitude. I know I was wrong, and oh, how I long for a better attitude. They'd say, "Mama, tell him to hush." But I'll tell you, attitude, when you come to the house of God, makes all the difference in the world. As a matter of fact, you might pick up a couple of sticks that you can go to stirring something at the house of God with, and you might be able to stoke a little fire at the house of God. I used to have a fellow member of my church. If I called his name, a lot of you know him, so I won't do it. But every time we have a visitor to come in, he'd come by me, and he'd kind of nudge me with his shoulder, head into the choir, and he'd say, I hope old Sasha gets to shouting this morning and said, if they can take that, they might be back. Well, I was in a bad mood one morning. On a Sunday morning. I know y'all don't ever do that. God help you. And he come by me and made that little statement. I said, how come you don't shout here once in a while? I said, how come you don't stir up something every once in a while? I said, how come you don't stoke the fire every once in a while? Why is it the little sticks have always got to do it? How come you don't pick up a stick? How come you don't stir a little? How come you don't poke a little at the fire? Hey, when the fire breaks out at our place, I stir it up. But some people ain't got enough God about them to come into the house of God and find two sticks. When there's a multitude of them there. Called cooking sticks. I wonder, what's the last thing you cooked up at the house of God? Huh? What's the last thing you cooked up at the house of God? Ezekiel chapter number 37. You know any cooking sticks? Do you know anything about the comforting sticks of God and the conquering sticks of the shepherd? You know anything about those things? Ezekiel 37. Everybody knows the first 14 verses. Every preacher has preached. I mean, those verses have been worn out in prophecy preaching. But they always stop at verse 14. Never do read verse 15. And the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, for all the house of Israel, his companions. And join them one to another into how many sticks? Now, if I got this right, he started out with two sticks. Is that right? And he wound up with how many sticks? One stick. I call these coming together sticks. Huh? Ah, you know the story. You know how that Joseph had gone in one direction, Judah in another. There was a separation there. And they just couldn't seem to get together. There wasn't no coming together. I want to tell you what I believe will cause people to come together. I believe genuine, blood-bought, God-sent, Holy Ghost conviction, and salvation will bring people together. I'm troubled about those who say they're saved, but they can't ever come together with the family of God. You know, I don't know what I'd fight. I know I'd fight over my youngins. I mean, literally, physically. I know I would. And God help the man or woman who ever lays her hand on my grandson. But preachers, I believe there's some preachers I'd fight. Now, there's some I wouldn't give a time of day, but there's some preachers I'd fight for. I mean, physically. Because I is one. And I can't stand two-faced, backstabbing church members that talk to the preacher one way at church, talk about him another behind his back. And if y'all ever find out they're doing anything like that, Brother Ken, some of you ought to come together and tell them to head up and leave. Amen. I can't stand that crowd. And I tell you another crowd I don't like. I don't like the crowd who'll eat up the church members to their face and then go behind their back and stick them in the back. Did you know the laboring of rumors is probably the most exercise most Baptists ever get? Carrying rumors. You know what rumors are? Rumors are something you've heard that you've got absolutely no idea whether it's true or not. Huh? I've been called legalist. He's been called liberal. And yet we get along better than all the rest of the crowd talks about us. That ought to tell you something on it. I said we've been called that. I didn't say we are that. Yeah. For both of us' sake. Called coming together sticks. You know what true salvation will do? It'll put you on the same level with everybody else. And when you put two sticks together and they become one stick, that means there's nothing between you. Not even a space between you. And only in His hand did they become one stick. I wonder if we ain't got a bumper crop of religionists in churches these days that never got saved. They never come together. They can't come together because they never got the glue that pulls them together. There's nothing to adhese them to somebody else in the house of God. Well, I'll tell you right now, bless God, I'm as good as anybody else. No, you're not. Ain't none of us good. Truth is, I passed a drunk down here not far from here in Bowden, downtown. He's drunk as a skunk. Pretty sure shook hands with a dope dealer up there at the Exxon station. Pretty sure I did. Pretty sure I stopped to get me some peppermint, but I knew my breath stunk and I didn't want somebody telling me that it did. And I'm almost sure I shook hands with a dope dealer. But did you know that I ain't a bit better than they are? And you ain't either. As a matter of fact, we're just better off. We're not better than. We're just better off. And if for no other reason, you and I ought to come together. When there's a need at the house of God, we ought to come together. Somebody's running down the preacher, we ought to come together. Amen? I tell you, you take two sticks and you put them together, there's some strength in that. And you can whoop somebody good with two sticks bound together. Amen. I'm fixing to tell something I probably ought not tell, but I'm going to tell it. Had an old boy come to the church back a couple of years ago, and he'd give me problems left and right. I told him finally when he come between me and my car and my family was with me. I said, so I'm going to take my tie off and I'm going to send you packing if you don't get out of me and my family's way. Preacher, you wouldn't do that. Well, I would if I had to. That's one thing messing with me. Don't never come between when my family's with me. When my daughter's with me and my wife is with me, don't come between me and my car. Messing with me is one thing, but putting them in the line of fire, that's something else. Now, grace is sufficient. I know it. I know that. And grace will help him when I got done with it. I know some folks, that's what they need. But I got a handful of men that picked up on it real quick. And I never had to say anything else to the gentleman. They never came to me. They never said anything to me. They just came together one night. And they said to that man, you leave here, don't come back, and leave our preacher alone. I want to tell you all this, and I'm moving to my last thought. And I'll be done, preacher. There is nothing that'll take the place of a man of God in your life. Everybody needs a man of God. And I don't mean for 3 years. And then you roll him out and roll nothing in for three more. There is nothing that'll take the place of a man staying at a work and pouring his life out into your life. And this crowd's always wanting to trade every 18 months or 3 years. Maybe you ought to get rid of them. Tell them to go. Preacher, I believe you'd be militant. Well, sound like y'all are. And you claim to be a preacher. Will you say you're a Christian? Maybe it's he just knows he can get me to say it up here. And he... Talking about coming together sticks. Sticks that will feed. Sticks that will follow. And if necessary, sticks that will fight. Amen? And we're having a good time. Ain't y'all glad I was last? You didn't have to put up with me all week. John 19, I want to read one verse of Scripture. And I want to deal with this last two sticks. The Bible said, John 19, verse number 17. And he, in reference to Jesus bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him. Now, I've been looking all over tonight, and it's the only place I could find it, and I'm sure it's somewhere else. I just don't see it. I ain't real bright tonight. I ain't real smart. But I know what these are. You know what those are? Two sticks. You'll never find two sticks mentioned again in the Bible. You know why? These are crossing out sticks. They take care of all them other sticks. There'd be no comforting sticks if it wasn't for those crossing out sticks. There'd be no conquering sticks if it wasn't for those two sticks. There'd be no cooking sticks if it wasn't for those two sticks. There'd be no coming together sticks if it wasn't for those two sticks. There'd be no carrying sticks that are precious and pure gold if it wasn't for those two sticks. You know why you're saved tonight? You know why your children are saved tonight? You know why your grand youngins are saved tonight? You know why you can go home, cradle your head in the pillow, go to sleep, not worry about dying and going to hell, but you'll go to heaven and wake up in glory? Hey! Them two sticks will cross out sin. Them two sticks will cross out suffering. Them two sticks will cross out struggling. Those two sticks, thank God for them. God don't have to mention any more sticks because those two sticks take care of everything. Calvary, it was at the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light. Amen. And the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight. I will tell you, it's two sticks. God never mentions two sticks again. As a matter of fact, the only time he mentions bundles of sticks. And he mentions them in Acts chapter number 28. Brother Carl, would you come and get ready for that song for me? Acts 28. He mentions a bundle of sticks. You remember that story? If you read the Bible, you ought to. Paul's come in off shipwreck. He's suffering. He's cold. He's hungry. He's tired. He didn't build a fire. Fire's already burning. I ain't too bright, but I'd say such a fire probably had something cooked for him, fed him. I'd say the fire, now I'm not real smart, but I know if you sit down next to a good open fire, you get full and you get comfortable, and it'll put you to sleep. It'll help you rest. Bible said that Paul went out and he picked up a bundle of sticks, didn't it? And said he came and throwed them bundle of sticks on there before he left. Now I figure the reason you put a bundle of sticks on a fire is keep the fire burning. Is that right? He didn't start that fire. And by the way, lest you forget, y'all didn't start this fire. This fire was burning before we ever showed up. But somebody back yonder has been putting the bundles on it, keeping the fire going. Paul knew somebody would come along and somebody would need the rest that come behind him. Somebody would need to eat that come behind him. Somebody would come shipwrecked and needing help. They'd need this fire. I wonder if I could challenge you tonight, regardless of what everybody else does. I wonder. Us preachers are notorious about it. I mean, we want to quit all the time. I know these fellas that never going to do that. Always wanting to give up, give in, give out. But we're human like everybody else. We bleed like you do. Our grass has to be cut just like your grass. Our Mustang has to be drove just like yours does. Our motorcycles have to be rode just like yours does. Our house has to be clean just like yours does. Huh? Our wives have to be dated every once in a while. Oh, God forbid the man to take a Friday or Saturday night and take his wife out to eat. We're just human just like you. But I wonder if I could challenge you tonight to overlook the brethren, overlook what you've heard, overlook what everybody says and thinks and what you think they think. And won't you just gather up a bundle of sticks tonight and put it on the fire? You got some youngins that's going to need this fire. You got some grand youngins going to need this fire. Huh? You say, but preacher, I know the rest of the story. I do too. But I know a snake come up and latched on. Anytime there's a fire burning, a snake in the grass is going to pop up. But you know what you do? You lose him in the fire. Paul shook him in the fire. Just add that into the fire. Have roast snake for supper. In other words, as long as you keep the fire going, you can burn some snakes out. Huh? If you let the fire go out, somebody going to go cold, hungry, find no rest. We got a lot of cold, dead places where the fire's gone out because somebody wasn't willing to carry a bundle of sticks. I tell you, after them two sticks, we ought to be willing to carry anything. I was going up the road, I-85, North Carolina, to a meeting. Old brother called us and singing this song. Church had just given me my first car. I didn't know till I'd had it a year and a half. But, because I didn't know those kind of things existed. All I knew was Honda 4-cylinder 5-speeds. This thing had a button you could mash and play the same song over and over and over and over and over and over. Man, I was marveling. And he'd sing his song. And he got so next to me, I got to helping him sing it. He'd say, let others do what they want to do, but as for me, I'm going to sing about you. I got to say, let others do what they want to do, but as for me, I'm going to preach about you. Got so tight. I mean, buddy, it got so tight in the car, I had to pull off on I-85 and get out. And around the car, I went on the emergency lane. Huh? Let others do what they want to do. Let them go. But as for me and you, why don't we just keep singing and preaching and shouting and praising and worshiping him. Some of y'all have been the recipients of God's blessings through some little sticks around here. You ought to be grateful for that tonight. I'm done, preacher.